Lord, I just thank you that you have allowed us to partner with you today, Lord, to be your vessels. And Lord, we understand that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Lord, that the excellence of the power will be of you and not of us, Lord. It's not of us, it's of you. And Lord, I ask you to grant me utterance to speak this morning. Lord, give me ears to hear what you are saying, that I can speak what you're speaking. Give me eyes to see what you're doing, that I can do what you're doing. Open the eyes of our hearts, our understanding. I pray that you'd sow, Lord, the truth into our hearts with understanding, that we will be changed. We want to be like you, Lord. We want to grow up and be like you, Jesus. Amen. You know, being excited about Jesus is wonderful. You know? But emotional excitement alone won't keep you in the difficult times. And a lot of people have leaned on and depended on that emotional excitement to carry them. And it doesn't, because it has to go deeper than just our emotion. You know, we need to be strong in the Lord, or in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. The title of the message this morning is True Spiritual Awakening. Ephesians 6:10, how many know this by heart? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, right? You can overcome every trial, right? And in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of his might. Our soul power can only go so far. Our will can only accomplish so much. But what we are engaged in here, we are engaged in battle, especially when you're born again, amen. All of a sudden now you really see the line of demarcation, amen, and that you're in a battle now of who is going to win, who's going to reign over me each day. Am I going to live according to the outer man or the inner man? That's united with the Holy Spirit. So whenever a person receives Christ, when Christ comes to dwell within us, he places the Spirit of his Son right into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. We become born again. All right. We then become God's temple, God's habitation, his dwelling place on the earth. Amen. And then a person needs to be baptized in water. And then we need to learn how to live from our spirit, by following the leading of the Holy Spirit within us. All right, so spiritual growth is really a matter of me dying to myself. You cannot grow spiritually until you first deny yourself. And so I have to choose the will of God over my will. It's something that is my responsibility. God does not make his will happen in my life. God looks for cooperation from his people. Amen. We partner with him in this. And I willingly submit my will to his will. When I submit my will, when I bow my soul to the Lord, then I become strong in the Lord. When I yield to the Spirit of God. Amen. So it's not about I'm just going to try a little harder today. No, I'm going to lean a little harder today. I'm going to depend a little more on Jesus today. Amen? So that my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone, as the song says, amen? And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. So the only foundation that is sure, that is steadfast, that will carry you is Christ in you. Amen? He's the hope of glory. And he is the source of your stability, of your strength, of your hope, of your joy, of your peace. Everything that you would desire and to know and experience is in him. He fulfills all those things. He satisfies those deepest longings of our hearts. And the world attempts to do that. The world is always screaming for our attention, trying to get us involved in this thing and that thing, and chasing after this and chasing after wind and sand, basically, and in things that do not truly satisfy. And, you know, the Lord allows us to utilize our will the way we want. And even if we choose to walk away from God, amen, God will allow you to do that. It's not His plan. It's not His perfect will for your life. But if you want to walk away from God, you can do that. You can choose to do what you want with your life. We have a free will to choose. But God also knows that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's difficult. How many here beside myself have spent a little time in the hog pen of life? And you found out it wasn't so good. It looked good at the time, but after a while it left a sour taste, didn't it? So when we talk about worship, what are we actually saying? It really means to bow the soul in reverence or humility. To bow down our soul is worship. It's not just singing. I believe singing is a very important part, amen, of worship. But it's bowing our soul. It's submitting our will to the will of God. That's true worship. And so worship is more than just a Sunday morning thing we do. For some, that's it. I will go to worship God on Sunday mornings, and the rest of the time I just live for myself. Actually, we were purchased by the blood of Christ, amen, to live the rest of our lives for Him every day. We are to worship God. We were actually created for Him. And to live without Him is to live dysfunctionally. How many have realized that? So a spiritual person, I hear people say, well, I'm very spiritual. Well, define that. What do you mean by spiritual? Because when you talk about spirit, you're usually talking about a spirit or spirits. Amen. And so what spirit or spirit are you actually yielding to that makes you a spiritual person? Now, we are spiritual in that we do have a spirit. That's called the heart. Amen. The place where we commune with God or are capable of communing with God. And because of sin, amen, that was cut off, but then restored in Christ Jesus. So once again, we become spiritually alive and we can commune with God in our spirits once again. Amen. And being a spiritual person means that I am allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge of my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, that outer man. And when my soul is bowed down and submitted to the Spirit of God, then the power of God rests upon me and I can accomplish God's purposes for my life. See, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And yet people are busy and engaged in Christian service. But many people are simply operating from their soul. You see, only the Spirit of God can bring transformation, can bring change. Amen? Can bring renewal, can bring revival. Man cannot produce revival. Amen? We can produce hype. Amen? It's like a flash in the pan. Amen? It's an emotional thing. But it doesn't last. But true life, true spiritual power comes from the Holy Spirit, who is in our hearts if we are in Christ. But being filled means I have given Him fullness or control over my being. Amen? My mind, my will, my emotions are now submitted or under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And He's now the adult. He's now the one that's in charge of my life. So we need to learn to live from the Spirit and not simply through our five senses, right? Which is what our body, but also our mind, will, and emotions, which is our soul. And so a spiritual person is one who's learned how to bow their soul to the will of God. Let me give an example when we're tempted to sin. Okay, that's when we need to bow our soul to the Spirit of God, right? And rely upon God's grace to deny our fleshly desires that war against our soul. So there's that outer man that can be influenced by temptation. Amen. But if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge, and if we are strong in the Lord because we are walking in humility before Him, our souls are bowed down to Him. Amen. In reverence and humility, then we have the strength to overcome any temptation that comes our way. As a matter of fact, temptations lose their power. They lose their luster when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you are yielding to the Holy Spirit. But if I allow myself to go, if I don't pay enough attention to feeding my spirit, I will become weak spiritually, and my soul man will become the adult in the situation once again. And I'll be very susceptible to relapsing, to getting back into addiction, whatever it is. It's loving God more than anything and anyone. So even our Lord Jesus, amen, though he was God, he became like us on the earth. So Jesus learned to deny his soul whenever it would interfere with his Father's will. Jesus, as a man, God and man, 100% of both, right? God and man, incarnate, God incarnate in flesh, amen? Had to learn how to yield himself, his soul, body, will, what? Soul, mind, emotions, right? To what? The will of God. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. Not in that he, you know, was misbehaving, but he had to discipline himself. Okay, in his body, in his soul, while he was here. Because if Jesus had sinned, he would be disqualified for being the perfect sacrifice for sin. Amen. He was tempted in every part like we are, amen, yet without sin. And therefore, he alone could become, amen, our sacrifice. So he learned obedience by the things he suffered, because when you have to say no to you, it's not easy. When denying yourself is not an easy thing. Can you say amen? Amen. It takes discipline, but it takes worship in the Spirit, prayer in the Holy Spirit, amen, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, amen. Being a person of his presence through your continual communion with God in your spirit, prayer, amen, and word, feasting on the word of God and in fellowship, and it even incorporate gatherings. Do you not receive strength when you come together with those of like precious faith who are participating, amen, and all putting together, amen, if you will, to feed the flame, hallelujah, of God's presence as God will honor, amen, our sacrifice. We come before him today with sacrifices of praise, amen, and of thanksgiving, amen. And even gifts sometimes of our substance, amen, but we do it as unto the Lord. When we go to work every day, amen, you're working as unto the Lord and not unto man, amen. That is worship. Our lives are to be given completely over to the Lord. Now, why? Because we are married to him. And so if you're married to someone, amen, that relationship is healthy as long as you are faithful to one another. Come on. And not going after other lovers. And so the enemy is always trying to get our attention, to divert attention away from the Lord to himself. As you've heard it said, he is a narcissist. And he's trying to rob you and I of our inheritance, of God's grace for each day, by detouring us with lesser things that don't satisfy. So a soulish person, okay, can do Christian service, but not produce any lasting fruit. Because fruit comes from the Spirit of God, amen, and not from the soul of man. So my soul is simply a vessel for the Spirit of God to flow through. Now, a soulish person, or we may even call it in the case of a Christian who's soulish, a carnal Christian, can be emotional and may be able to stir others emotionally, yet not be spiritual. So Satan tempts us in our mind, doesn't he? And he tempts us in our emotions. If Adam and Eve had denied their soul and obeyed the Spirit of God, they would not have fallen. A soulish person can also be an intellect, all right, and know how to stimulate the mind of others and even impress others with how much they know, yet not be a spiritual person. You see, a person even with a very low IQ can be a powerhouse for God if they're submitted to the Spirit of God. Amen. He will compensate for our weakness. He's able to make his grace abound, amen, to those who are submitted to him. You see, the enemy comes up and says, well, you're not smart enough to be God's servant or whatever. You know, that's a lie. God doesn't make any mistakes, you've heard it said. God's simply looking for a vessel that says, here am I, Lord, use me. Yes. The Apostle Paul said this, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him, by God. He also said in 1 Corinthians 4:19, but I will come to you shortly. He was doing an inspection on the church, you see. He was going to drop in unexpectedly. If the Lord wills, I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Not the word of those who are puffed up and the what? Their fleshly mind. The intellectuals. But the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis power. Same word, right? Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So God takes weak vessels, come on, foolish things, right? Things that are despised of the word, of the world, if you will, and then he empowers that person, amen, and he raises them up and he uses them so people know there's more to you than you. Did you know that there's more to you than you? If you're in Christ. So a spiritual person, again, is one who has learned how to minister from their spirit because their spirit is submitted to the Holy Spirit within them. And also a soulish person, they may have learned how to use their will or their soul power, right, to control or even manipulate people. And sometimes, unfortunately, even in a ministry context, where people who are strong-willed or strong-willed ministers who are not submitted to the Spirit of God use their will to manipulate and control people, come on, to dominate people. And that's really a spirit of witchcraft. It's rebellion. If we attempt to serve the Lord independent of the Lord and go it on our own. Righteousness cannot be forced. When I was a new believer, I was trying to force righteousness on everybody. You know? And then the Lord told me one day, you're not driving cattle. You're leading sheep. So a legalistic person is one who attempts to produce righteousness by relying upon themselves or their soul power. I'm going to be a better person today. I'm going to be a good person today. Yes, well, God will give you the grace to control what you do in your soul and in your body. Amen. But it's not you relying upon yourself to be a holy person. Amen. Or to be good. You see, there are a lot of do-gooders in the world that have nothing to do with the Lord. Amen. They don't love God. They don't do it for God. They do it for themselves. Or they do it for attention. Or they do it for clicks nowadays. Thumbs ups. We need to be living our lives for Jesus, amen, for his glory. He deserves it. But a legalistic person is basically engaged in what's called loveless devotion. They're just going through the motions and doing what the law says to do and not to do. It's not a matter of do's and don'ts, you see. It's about living in the Spirit. And then you produce the life, amen, that will influence others around you. In other words, you can bring people the do's and the don'ts, the rights and the wrongs, amen, but their heart can be unchanged if you're just engaging them from your soul. Because it's the Spirit of the Lord, amen, that brings change. It brings transformation. So when we minister, we need to minister from our spirit or from our heart. Amen. And when the Spirit of God is working through our lives, it will bring change. It will bring healing. It will bring deliverance. It will bring salvation. God's simply looking for a clay vessel like you and I to work through, but we have to be humble enough to say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm leaning on you, on your grace, to be the person I'm called to be. I ask you to work through me today, Lord. Move through me today. Speak through me today, Lord. Reach through me today. Touch through me today. Heal through me today, Lord. I just ask you to use me as a vessel today. In Jesus' name. So you can intellectually agree with the truth and even be excited about Jesus. But if you're not yielded to the Spirit of God, eventually your house is going to collapse. So the will of God for us is really the only firm foundation for our lives. If we're building our lives on the sand, if you will, our house on the sand, it's building basically upon my own desires, wants, amen, and not on the will of God. That's what Jesus meant in Matthew 13:20. He said, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Remember, our anchor, the anchor of our soul, is within the veil, in the secret place of the Spirit. Amen. Our spirit, in harmony with God's spirit, makes my soul a servant of God. I'm a servant of God as long as my soul is submitted to the Spirit of God within me. Amen. Otherwise, I'm doing the ministry. And if I'm doing the ministry, people are not going to benefit except in the fleshly realm. I may make people feel better. I may be able to stir them emotionally. I may be able to wow them with my knowledge of the Bible. But if I'm not moving in the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through my life, it's going to be empty. It's going to be fruitless. How is it that people can attend powerful church services yet remain unchanged? Amen? You know what? We need more than just powerful church services. We need powerful Christians. Amen. We need to be powerful Christians. Yes. Amen. We don't need a little dab will do you Christianity. Amen. Our little snack here and there. Once in a while we go to church. Once in a while we'll gather. Once in a while we'll listen to the word. Once in a while we'll read. Once in a while we'll pray. Once in a while, amen. Well, guess what? You're not going to produce fruit unless you're feeding your faith. Amen? You've got to feed your spirit. You've got to feed on the Word of God. You've got to worship Him in the Holy Spirit so that you are strengthened to the point where your inner man, once again, is in control of your soul man, your outer man, that is that expression in the world. Somebody say, amen, I'm enjoying this, so. If a person's not willing to bow their soul to God's will, then there can be no real spiritual fruit. Amen. We know where our life comes from, where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Remember Jesus said, those who believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly, out of their spirit will flow rivers of living water. Amen. So it's not like, you know, God is way out there somewhere now. When you're born again, amen, you become the temple, the vessel of God. He dwells within you. So we need to learn how to submit our soul and allow God to work through our spirit, amen, into us through our soul realm to the outside world. All right. And it takes discipline. But, you know, when God begins to stir your heart and to feed your spirit and to strengthen your spirit, it then becomes easier to maintain that spiritual vitality, amen, than it does if you're just depending on once a week or twice a week going to church. Come on. Some people live like that. They just go to church to get fed, and the rest of the time they're not feeding themselves. Amen? We need to learn how to feed ourselves. Somebody say amen. Now, the people of Jeremiah's day, right, they turned away from the Lord. They became ungrateful. They were disloyal to the Lord. And so as a result, they were dissatisfied. How many beside myself realize that if I don't stay close to the Lord, all of a sudden things aren't going quite so well? I'm finding myself anxious. I'm finding myself worried, sometimes even fearful. I lack peace in my life. I'm easily angered. Come on. If my spirit is weak, then my flesh or my soul man, which is influenced by outward influences, come on, becomes subject to outward influences. But if I'm strong in the spirit, then the spirit of God within me, amen, will strengthen even the outer man. So where my soul is now in control. Or I'm in control of my soul, should I say. So Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and honed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So the Lord here is likening himself to an artesian well. He's like a never-ending supply of fresh water. All right? A never-ending supply of refreshing. And he said, but they've honed out also these for themselves broken cisterns. These are like these, you know, they would dig these wells, if you will, and they would not hold water because they, okay, had dug these wells themselves. It wasn't from the Spirit of God, but it was a soulish endeavor. There's a difference there, right? And so all of our works, apart from the Lord, are likened to these broken cisterns or these hand-dug wells. They cannot hold any water, and they have no lasting value. So Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We cannot resuscitate ourselves. Only God can revive us. Only God. Awakening is a work of God. All right? But there has to be a sense need. There has to be a desire. There has to be a hunger. All right? And if there's no hunger, again, we have to ask the question, then what are we filling our lives with that are satisfying that hunger that should be for God? Amen. So we can satisfy ourselves with worldly things, all right, but be dissatisfied in that. Because you'll find out, and even people at the top, there's more suicides from what I understand at the top than there is in the bottom of society. Because they're not satisfied in all the stuff. And they get, once they go buy some stuff, they go out and buy more stuff and more stuff, thinking that this is going to make me happy. This is going to fulfill me. This is going to satisfy my life. And they're living a completely soulish existence apart from the Lord. Amen. And none of those things satisfy them. And that was what's happening here, is the people who had gone after other things and they had forsaken the Lord. They turned away from the fountain of living waters, the refreshing of the Lord. Now, listen. There is no spiritual awakening if there's no desire for it. And there are people who have no desire for it. There are even Christians who are satisfied where they're at, and some of them are not in a good place at all, but they're just not aware of that. Why? Because their soul is so strong and their spirit is so weak that they don't even know the difference anymore. They're so used to living a soulish life. And just feeding the soul or the outer man, the desires, the pleasures, the things of this world, come on, to the neglect of the most weightier things, which is the matter of the heart. The spirit needs to be fed more importantly than our outer man, that flesh. That's why fasting is a good thing at times, because it humbles the soul. Amen. And then if you're fasting and praying, to the combination, amen, can really kind of get ourselves out of the way so God can work. God wants to work through every one of us here. Every one of us here is to be a minister for the Lord. And so we need to learn to live from the Spirit and not try to do ministry from just our soul. Our soul must be submitted to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so if we will strengthen ourselves in the inner man, all right, through the disciplines of prayer and fasting and the Word of God, amen, and fellowship and in obedience to the will of God, the Word of God, amen, we're building, we're strengthening ourselves in Him. And therefore, automatically my soul comes into alignment with the desire of the Holy Spirit. In other words, His will becomes my will. You want His will to become your will? Submit to God. Feed your spirit. Anytime God is moving, anytime God is doing something, amen, hallelujah, you want to get a part of that. Amen. If God is pouring out His Spirit, if God is touching people, if we're having an altar call, amen, and God is moving by His Spirit, we should all be down here and say, Lord, I want some. I'm hungry. I need it. Amen. And if you don't think you need it, that means your soul is probably satisfied in the wrong thing. Because a baby who is healthy is a hungry baby. And we're not all babes in here, amen? But if we're healthy, we're going to have an appetite. When you're sick, you don't have an appetite. If you're spiritually sick, amen, you're not going to have an appetite for the things of God. Somebody say amen. Am I winning friends and influencing people today? I don't know. But we need to be awakened. We need to know. We have to, need to have a sense need for God. Amen. And I have to ask the question, if I am not hungry for the Lord or desiring the Lord, what is taking His place in my life? Come on. I said it before, but the enemy is always looking to replace God in your life with an idol, with something else. You want to know something? The enemy is afraid of a person who is strong in the Lord. Because he's afraid of the one who's in you. Because you're yielding to the one who's in you, and therefore that makes you a strong, amen, deterrent to what he's trying to do. We are enforcers of the victory that Jesus has already won for us. So spiritual awakening is always preceded by humility and repentance. So the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of convicting. Amen. He convicts the world in John 16:8 of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And so whenever someone, amen, is spiritually awakened, it means that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He lights up our night. So we need the presence of the Lord, and we need to be yielded to the presence of the Lord in order to be a vessel for God in this world. There are many people that are doing service for the Lord, but they're operating from their soul. Come on. Because they have not sanctified the Lord God in their hearts. They don't have a real relationship with Jesus in their spirit. So all they know is to go from their mind, their intellect, their will, and their emotions. Come on. And you and I, apart from Christ, can produce what? Zero. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit through a soul that is submitted to the Lord, that is bowed down to Him in reverence and honor. Whenever a spiritual awakening occurs, people are filled with the Holy Spirit. He said in Proverbs 1:23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But we have to be listening to the voice of God. True awakening will always produce holy living. When a person is truly spiritually awake, amen, I'm not talking about a legalistic sense. I'm talking about a heart, amen, that's in harmony with the Spirit of God that wants to do the right thing. Because when you are in love with somebody, you don't want to do the things that grieve them. When you are in love with Jesus, you want to bless the Lord. You don't want to, right, upset the Lord. You don't want to grieve His Spirit. Hallelujah. And when we're walking close and when our spirit is strong, then we're very sensitive also to when we get out of line in our thought life or in our conversation. How many know what I'm talking about? You get that poke. You shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have thought that. Take that thought captive, amen, to the obedience of Christ. But when we are truly awake, all right, we will have an attitude of willing obedience. The reason why a lot of Christians know what God expects of them, but they don't do it. Why? Because the desire is not really there that would overcome even their soulish desire to be comfortable, to be liked, to be accepted by people. Come on. When you are spiritually strong, amen, it will produce in you such a desire that it doesn't matter what people think anymore. What matters is that you are pleasing the one that you love more than anybody else. If I'm strong in my soul and weak in my spirit, then I'm subject to the opinions of people. And I'm not going to do anything to ruffle anybody's feathers because I want everybody to like me. Why? Because I'm too soulish and easily influenced by the opinions of man rather than the will of God. But if you're strong in the Lord, amen, He will take you to a place where now your soul has bowed down, amen, in submission to the will of God, no matter what the cost. When we are awake spiritually, there will be a genuine zeal. Call it the fire of God, amen? Like Jeremiah, it's like fire shut up in my bones. So I believe we are living, listen, in the time of God's outpouring. And even if you're in a dry season, you've been in a dry season, the rain of God's presence will come if you continue to seek Him. Amen. In the Old Testament, rain can be likened to the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Zechariah 10:1, it says, ask the Lord for rain. When? In the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. So for Israel, without the spring rain, there could be no hope of a harvest of fruit or grain. So God was the one who would send the rain on the land. But He said something interesting. He said, you need to ask the Lord for rain when?
In the time
of rain. I believe we are living, listen, in the time of rain. And we need to be interceding and praying for the glory of God to fall. Amen. And America. Hallelujah. And in us. Hallelujah. I want to be refreshed in Him. I don't want idols. I say, Lord, topple every idol in my heart. Anything that would come between me and You. And Your plan for my life being fulfilled. We need to pray because we're living in that time. God will send spiritual rain in response to our prayers of faith. I like what James said about Elijah. Remember in James 5:17, he said he was a man with a nature like ours. Why did he say that? Because a lot of people are thinking, well, I can't be a man of God or a woman of God. But he says, but listen, Elijah was just like us.
Right.
Think about it. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we need to believe, and do you believe, that God wants to pour out His Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is pouring out His Spirit?
Yes.
So we need to be praying into that. Amen? And I say this because when it starts to rain, it's not time to quit. It's not time to stop praying. Amen. Pray consistently every day, every day, every day. We're praying for an awakening. Amen. And when it starts to come, amen, the mercy drops round us are falling. Amen. We're still crying out, Lord, we're praying for the showers of blessing. Amen. Yeah. To fall, because it's going to be the Spirit of God that's going to bring the transformation. Amen. Even to change America. Hallelujah. Amen. We're praying that it'll rain in the White House, rain in the Congress, rain in all echelons of government. Amen. Hallelujah. That the Holy Spirit will arrest these rebels and bring them to repentance, and God can do it. I pray the fear of God come upon our government. Amen. That they wake wake up, hallelujah, and return to the Lord, and that our nation, our people will wake up, the church will wake up and return to the Lord, for He will have mercy. And He wants to send the times of refreshing, hallelujah, upon this nation even. God's able. Whew. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please Him. For they who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who... Somebody say diligently. So like Elijah, we're earnestly praying for rain. And you know, when you pray in agreement with the will of God, you will be quickened, strengthened, amen, made alive. The Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit when you are in harmony with what God wants to accomplish on the earth. And when we pray for America, I'm telling you, there's a quickening in that. That's what God wants to do. God wants to save this nation. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to all the stuff. Amen. Oh, it's just too far gone. We're Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, there's a mess out there. Amen. But God has a people and He has a remnant. Amen. And if His people that are called by His name, if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, then He will hear. He didn't say if the heathen, the unbeliever prays. He said, if My people, that would be us. If we will pray and seek His face, then He will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. So listen, the enemy wants to discourage you in your faith by constantly putting in your face all that's broken, all that's bad, all that's negative. And if you continue to feast on that kind of stuff, all of a sudden you're going to find your faith hitting the floor. Why? Because it's designed to make us fearful and to rob us of any hope. It's called fear porn these days. Amen. And it's designed to rob people of hope that God can turn this situation around. But God's looking for someone who will stand in the gap. He's looking for someone who will deny themselves to seek Him. Amen. To call His kingdom reign in. Hallelujah. Amen. For the benefit of others. I said this Wednesday night because I'm piggybacking off this Wednesday night. As we are believing for a cloudburst.
Yes. A storm.
Lord, we are asking You for a cloudburst of glory. The mercy drops, amen, the showers, we plead, we thank You for that. But Lord, we know that there's more. And how many know that if you continue to sow in the Holy Spirit, continue to seed the clouds, eventually there's going to be a what? Cloud burst. It's going to release itself back. Amen. Hallelujah. And so do not become weary in well-doing, for in due time or season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. Amen. So we need to keep pressing on, believing God. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, let's enjoy the presence of the Lord together. Amen. Let's rejoice in Him. Let's pray for one another. Let's minister to one another in the power of the Holy Spirit as we yield our souls to Him and allow Him to work through our lives. And we need to practice doing this. God is hearing our prayers, folks. So keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Jesus is equipping and raising up an army that will destroy the works of Satan. God Himself will deal with all the false shepherds, and He will intervene on behalf of His people. I know some people's whole ministry is just about exposing somebody that's doing something wrong in the church. How about what's right with the church? Who's doing something good for Jesus in the church? Amen. Hallelujah. God will deal with each heart, amen, and each one of us will give an account of ourselves to Him, amen, so we might as well bow our soul and obey the Lord, amen, and get over ourselves, because it's really not about us, it's about what Jesus wants, what He wants to accomplish, amen, and we just get to be a vessel for Him, praise God for that. And I want to get to this because this is something the Lord has really been putting on my heart lately. I've been thinking about this. Last week I talked about how the Spirit and the soul, amen, work together. And the illustration is that of a great stallion, a wild horse running rampant, you know, not really doing anything productive, but has a great strong will, amen, and a lot of power, amen. But if you can break that horse, amen, and that it becomes user-friendly, now a rider can get on that horse, and he can direct that powerful horse, amen, in the right direction. That's what God wants to do by His Spirit. He wants to bring our powerful self-will under His will, amen. So now He has a user-friendly vessel that He can work through in this world. Amen. So what God wants to do is He wants to turn us from wild stallions, amen, into war horses for Him. Zechariah 10:5. They will be. Let's look at this. Zechariah 10:3. My anger burns against you shepherds. I will punish these leaders, for the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah. His flock, He will make them strong and glorious, like a proud war horse in battle. You know, a war horse was dependent on the rider to direct him in battle, because the horse would get killed too if the rider was not there, amen, directing that horse. If it was just running rampant, it would be in danger. And so you and I are living in a war. We are engaged in the spiritual war. Amen. And so we need to give permission for the rider to direct our lives in the right direction. Amen. Amen. His will is perfect for us. There's safety in the will of God. Amen. So the Lord is bringing a transformation. I believe it. That war horse has to be broken and disciplined and trained. Amen. All right. In order to be effective in battle. In Zechariah 10:5, it says, they will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them as they fight, they will overthrow even the enemy's horsemen. Again, the war horse is dependent on its willingness and ability to submit to the rider. Are we willing to submit to the Lord? To the Spirit of the Lord. And allow Him now to call the shots. Are we willing to acknowledge Him in all of our ways? And are we willing to say yes when He speaks to us? Are we willing to deny what we want to do that we might do what He wants to do? Because what He wants to do for us is superior to what we want for us. And what God does is perfect. Amen? God wants His people to bear fruit, amen? So we must submit, amen, to the discipline of the Lord. There's going to have to be some pruning, amen? There's going to have to be some cutting away of the sucker branches and the things in our lives that are unproductive, that are simply weights that are weighing us down in our race. God wants His people to live sanctified, set apart from Him. Why? For Him. Because He wants to accomplish His will through us. We need God's power to overcome in the battle. We need more than just powerful church services. We need powerful Christians. Somebody smile and say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many want to be a war horse for Jesus? Amen. You want to be a war horse for Jesus? Then you're going to have to just say, Lord, You decide now. I'm going to bow my soul. Amen. I want to get out of the way of the Lord so He can work through my life. Because it's not by my might or power. Amen. But it's by His Spirit. He works through us. It's His grace that people need. It's Jesus that people need. Amen. We can't change anybody. We may be able to stimulate their intellect through our knowledge. Amen. We may be able to stir their emotions. We may even be able to get people to respond to an altar call. Amen. But if it's from the soul, it's just going to hit the floor. It's not going to produce any lasting fruit. But if the Spirit of God is at work and the Holy Spirit is moving on people, amen, then it will produce. Because God's word will not return void. When God is speaking, amen, it produces change or transformation. And I pray, Lord, that we will be changed by Your word in Jesus' name. Just as crops in nature, I'm going to finish, cannot survive without water, neither can you and I endure the dry seasons and bear fruit without the rain of His presence. And listen, it will rain in the place where the diligent prayer of faith is being offered up to God. Somebody is praying for these services. Somebody is paying a price. Amen. I'm not here to boast myself. I'm talking about there are warriors among us. Amen. That have decided we're going to come together and we're going to pray and we're going to agree with heaven. Amen. That God's will come to earth. Amen. I don't know about you, but I see the desperate need of God's divine intervention in Shelton. Amen. And in all of our cities across this nation, we need to understand the seriousness of the battle that we're engaged in. Amen. There's no time to be weak or to be equipped. We need to be equipping ourselves. We need to be training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, because we are warriors. Amen. For the Lord, we are like those war horses that have been trained, that have been broken, that are yielded now to the rider, to the master, so that the Lord has someone that he can work through. Hallelujah. It's going to rain in the place of the hunger, of the desire. Hallelujah. Again, I'm going to finish. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we are not strong in the Spirit, then nothing else will come into alignment in our lives. We can produce no fruit except by the Holy Spirit. It's not the fruit of Keith. Amen. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God is looking for. It's his fruit, the fruit of God, out of a life that is submitted to his lordship. Hallelujah.